Hello and welcome to Pub Trotters Pubcast. I don't even know what number this is. I haven't checked. This is the last one of these we're going to be doing for. I say we are going to be doing for a while. It's very much me. Having a break after this. These sessions are going to become few and further between. Now I have a child, doing these pub visits become less and less a priority, but they're still fun. We'll still try and keep doing them, hopefully later in the autumn, or even next year. The podcast, the Instagram channel will keep going. I'll post crap on there. But yeah, this is the last one for a good while for now. So hopefully you enjoy. I'm in a place called the Gladstone Arms, near Borough in South London, Southwark. I come here as part of City Stack again. So this is a City Stack pub. You can get your vouchers and things here and use them here, which is, you know, such a great, it's a fucking superb pub. I've only been here for about 30 minutes and it's just something incredibly special about this place. It's very much something called a Desi pub, which is something, a term I've only learned in the last like few weeks. And so one of the things we're hoping to talk, we're going to talk about that more when we bring on our guest from the pub into Pub Lovers Corner later. How is everyone doing? How are you doing? How has your pub trotting been? Have you visited anywhere amazing? Have you been blown away by something that you never knew existed? Do tag us and a hashtag pub trotting if you want to get a mention on the podcast, and just let us know some great pubs around the UK or further afield. So it's been approximately a month or just over, under, not entirely sure, I've not done something for a while. It's been a busy month. Managed to do quite a bit of pubbing with my beautiful daughter and beautiful partner. It's been a lot of fun. How have I been? We've been doing a lot of... How have I been? I have been busy. So is everyone, right? Who gives a shit? Busy, but pub-related. Yeah, had a lot of fun. In particular, the resurrection, to a degree, of Pub Trotters Pub Club. In that... A group of us have started meeting up once a month again to do pubs either in London or Hertfordshire. Basically, it's a group of people, are friends in Hertfordshire who also work in London. So it depends on whatever date we get, we go to. So this month we were in Hertfordshire, in Letchworth Garden City, a week or so ago, and we met up in Garden City Brewery. I've done a podcast from there before, so check out the earlier podcast to hear more about it. But we did then proceed to Crafties, which is a craft beer place in Letchworth, before we ended up in the Weatherspoons in Letchworth. It was a great night, got quite tipsy, I think is the word worth saying. We ended up drinking hooch. When was the fucking last time anyone had hooch? It's still pretty shit. But only because one of our group had never tasted hooch, we had to buy it. But we drank it like craft beer people. We got one bottle and three glasses because, you know, we're classy like that. That was a lot of fun. And then generally the month before that has been fairly chill, and very much a lot of fun, just nice pubbing. So let's talk about where we are before we bring our guest on, who's going to help me with the pub news in a bit, and we'll talk more about the pub. It's not going to be a huge introduction bit today because I'm on my own, as mentioned. So I'm sat in this pub near Borough. I'm looking around. There's a lot of kind of Indian-esque paraphernalia around, piano. There's a tiny beer garden upstairs, which is lovely. And I'm drinking, they've got a great range of beers. I'm drinking, I want to say Lane Brewing. Yeah, it is Lane Brewing. It's a pineapple beer. Yeah, I love pineapple, but it's a very strong flavor, so I'm always worried it's going to overpower other things. Like I had pineapple slushy before, and it was shit, absolutely horrible. However, this is really nice. It smells so incredibly pineapple-y, but then you drink it and it's very subtle. So yeah, it's great. But yeah, so yeah, the deck was just classic pub with, like I said, paraphernalia of kind of, you know, India, Southeast Asia. Yeah, and it's Monday day, and you can hear there are people in here for a Monday. I think they're doing a wine tasting. I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to ask our guest later. And it's got one main room and another little beer garden at the top, a slightly off the beaten track, and it's very chilled vibes here for a Monday. But yeah, it's really good. I'm really excited. I'm going to try some food later. They do something called, I need to find a sign for this now, Anglo-Indian food. I think that's what it is. Which, as you can imagine, is a blend of British-based, Indian-based food. They're roasts, is what I want to come back for a roast. They're Sunday roasts. They do Anglo-Indian style Sunday roast, so it's kind of like we do chicken, and I think there's a lamb dish, in a kind of more or less roast style, but like Bombay potatoes are on there instead of like roast potatoes and stuff. Although I don't know if they roast them, roast Bombay potatoes would be fucking amazing. Yeah, so it's a pretty cool pub. Obviously, we'll talk about this when we have our guest on more. The first vibes are really good. Hello and welcome back to Pub Trotters Pubcast. We're in the GLAD and I'm sat here with Meg. Hi Meg.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
So Meg, thank you so much for having us at this gorgeous pub that you are a part of. What's your role here? Are you landlady or I don't actually know?
Yeah, so I am the landlady.
Yeah, amazing.
It seems like I might be the first Indian landlady ever.
Shut up.
Yeah, but I also run this pub with my brother. So yeah. Two of us, with we call ourselves the GLAD siblings.
And we GLAD siblings.
Yeah, we run the pub together. And we've been running it now for about 6.5 years.
6.5 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you get into the
pub? So this is a little bit of like a nice, beautiful journey. So we took over the pub about 6.5 years ago, in April 2017. I was working as a product manager, and my brother was working in Hilton as a hotelier.
Yeah.
So we always had this dream of doing something of our own, of running a business of our own, like either a restaurant, a bar, or we never really thought about a pub, but then we came across the GLAD, the Gladstone Arms, lovingly called the GLAD. And this was like about 7 years ago, and we did a lot of like research about the GLAD, realized it's a very much loved pub, and you know, it had like a really strong local history.
Yeah.
It's been around since the 1800s, and we decided to take it over.
Yeah.
In fact, the locals at the time had signed a petition, it was hashtag Save the GLAD, because it was going to be knocked down and converted into a luxury apartment.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, so the locals signed the petition and saved the pub, and we were like, you know what, this is amazing. And it's been like a favorite pub of so many people. So we were like, let's take it over and let's give it a new lease of life.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Oh, that's such a beautiful story. And so, I mean, on that note, you mentioned about potentially being the first Indian landlady of a pub. So it's been so odd that Alison set this up, because I've only recently learned about the term Desi pubs in the last couple of months or so.
Yeah.
I think a book's been released. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're part of that. Are you part of that book?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got loads of copies of this book behind the bar.
Okay.
It's written by our really good friend David Jesse Dayson.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So what he essentially did, he did like a road trip around the UK, and it was to discover Desi pubs.
Yeah.
And it features the GLAD quite heavily in the book, and obviously with me being like the first ever Indian landlady, which is quite surprising in a way. But a Desi pub is a pub that has some influence, like Indian influence, in terms of the food, in terms of the ownership, music. So when we took over the GLAD, we didn't want it to be just any average pub that you would go to.
No.
When my brother and I took over the pub, we wanted to have some sort of an Indian influence on it because of our heritage. We come from Punjab. My mom's from Punjab, so we wanted to have an impact in terms of the food. That was for sure. So this is why we do like sort of an Indian fusion on our food menu. So we do like chicken tikka masala pies.
The food looks amazing.
Yeah, or like
menu earlier.
Or like one of the most popular dishes that we have is the Anglo-Indian Sunday roast. So we got the butter chicken or the railway lamb chops, and I think people are absolutely crazy about this whole idea.
Yeah.
And I think this is what really, along with the, obviously the beer selection, the friendliness of the, of the people, it's what really attracts people to come to the club.
It's funny you say about the fusion element of it. I think there's something of the fusion pubs fusion with a particular cuisine is. There aren't that exist. I love that you've done a roast dinner fusion.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I've texted my partner already saying we have to come back here on Sunday.
Yeah.
She loves like the idea of fusion sort of Sunday roasts because they're not that common.
We just thought it was going to be like a perfect combination of flavors. You know, like a British classics with the Indian crunchy Indian flavors. Yeah. Like, how could you possibly go wrong? So, with the butter chicken, we've got the butter chicken sauce. Along with the Yorkshire pudding, the roast Bombay potatoes, and the masala broccoli, and we do get quite popular.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's a gorgeous pub, and so I don't know what I expected in terms of size. It's quite a small pub. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would call it like a very intimate pub.
Yeah.
So we've got two floors.
Yeah.
So we have like the ground floor, which is the main bar area, and then we've got the upstairs which is like an upper, which has a private function room. So you can hire it for like private parties, functions, and it gets quite popular. It's quite intimate, so you know the maximum we would ever have is like 40 people. In the
so you don't need a huge.
No, and then you have this opportunity to also buy your own keg of beer, and you can pour the pints yourself.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we encourage groups to do that. We also have like a little cute roof terrace.
Yes,
which can fit about like 12 people, 15 people max. So it's a small pub, intimate space, but it works really well.
Yeah, and what I think I mean, it's a Monday today that we're here, listeners, so it's what you might consider the most quietest day for a pub.
Yeah.
But there's still third size, there's still a nice amount of people in here for a Monday.
Yeah.
Are these locals, is that fair to say, or was it?
A lot of them are locals, people sitting at the bar are locals.
Yeah, yeah.
We also had like a little wine tasting session earlier with one of our friends who happens to be, he used to work for the Lane Brewery, and now he works for the Sustainable Wine Company. So
Lane Brewery as in Liverpool?
Brighton. I think they're based in Brighton.
Okay.
So like, and we have like a really nice connection with like the beer suppliers as well.
Yeah.
Like my brother's like super passionate about the beers. That's his thing. He works on all of the beer. So we have, I think, about 16 beers on tap.
Okay.
So there's 13 draft beers and there's one on cask.
Yeah.
So we have everything ranging from IPAs, pale ales, ciders, lagers, fruity pale ales, dry pale ales, whatever, IPAs.
Yeah.
So we had like a little wine tasting session today, and we tried to have like a nice variety on the beer front as well, so that so that's why we feel like our pub caters to everyone.
Yeah,
right?
Plus something that's quite niche about this pub, I think, in that, especially where you are, being close to Borough, South London. South London has got some really good pubs and niche sort of, beer selections, but obviously on the, I think London Bridge gets a lot of like, oh, you're near London Bridge, there's loads of places to go.
Yeah.
But obviously just down the road you've got Borough, where there are a couple of hubs on the main street.
Yeah.
No offence to them, you know, they don't focus too much, let's say, on the beer selection. So it's amazing to see a pub of this size have such a big beer selection. Was that a conscious decision when you got here, or was it?
Actually, before we took over the pub, there wasn't that much of a beer selection here. In fact, we created like a facility behind the main pumps of beer and like a mirrored wall, so that we can have more like 10 different taps at the back.
Yeah.
Sometimes people would come in and they wouldn't even notice the taps on the back.
Yeah.
So we have to inform them, by the way, guys, there's beers at the back as well. So it's like they get pretty surprised.
That is quite funny.
So I think that was one of the things that we really wanted to do, even though it's a small pub.
Yeah.
But we have a beer choice that caters to everyone. No matter how old you are, what your style of beer is, there is something.
Yeah, your beer selection is amazing, and you've served me up some corkers already today.
Yeah.
I've already mentioned in the introduction I was drinking some pineapple. That was Elaine Brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The pineapple IPA is quite popular. Yeah,
and now I'm drinking a grapefruit one. What brewery was this?
This is Sambrook.
Sambrook. Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
That feels quite adventurous for that. I don't necessarily associate them with overly adventurous beers, but that's my.
They have like a nice variety because they have. We also have their Lavender Hill beer on.
I buy that up. Is it lavender-ish? Is that why it's called that?
I don't really drink cask much, but it's been quite a popular choice. I think it might have some, but you can try it afterwards.
Yeah, I'll have to try it afterwards. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's funny. So obviously, as part of what I do, I've done some research on this pub, and you said you've been here for 6 years. Do you know what the and you've massively changed the beer, so it's not changed but added to the beer selection. Have you noticed a difference in clientele? Have the locals noticed a difference in clientele at all, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, as I said, we have like a very diverse clientele now. So we're very lucky to be in a nice sort of central area, which is easy to get to for a lot of people. We have like a mix of corporate crowd because a lot of people working in the neighborhood. We're also in the center of a community, so there's lots of like locals that live nearby. And I think I'm not really sure, but I have felt like people have said there's probably a bit more of a younger crowd, diverse crowd. I hope we cater to everyone.
It's funny you say that. So do you know you have a Wikipedia page?
Yes. Yeah.
And on the way, and obviously Wikipedia, just in case people don't know, is a thing that anyone can write and add to. There's a line on there that made me laugh when I was reading it. It says, it attracts young, creative types and gays.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's just a very bland sort of way of describing it.
Yeah. That's because the pub has gone through it so much. It used to be a gay pub at one point in time.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't know how long ago that was, probably like about 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It used to be a gay pub.
Okay.
And then it was also.
Still has that history.
Yeah, and then it was also a wine bar at one point in time.
Fuck.
And the location of the bar itself was in the middle or something. It wasn't the way it is now.
Yeah.
And then before we took over, it was a predominant sort of live music venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we took over, we did like a bit of a market research. We asked the locals of what they expected out of their pub and what we should do with it. They said they wanted to have like a variety of the food, so we added that variety.
Yeah.
But they said one thing, that they wanted the live music to stay.
Yeah.
So we carried on doing that.
Yeah. So listeners, what I haven't said today is that Meg, bless her, is running the bar whilst also doing this podcast. She's on her own, and so very kindly offered to do this and run the bar. Luckily, the crowd here are very acknowledging and accepting of this, and are just kind of waving at us when they need a drink. So she's just popped off to have a drink. Not to have a drink, just to get a drink for someone else. You mentioned you did a community market research type thing, like looking at the locals, and which I always admire in pubs. I think if you serve first and foremost your community, right? Another thing, when researching the pub, it says you're recognised as an asset to the community value.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean exactly?
So I think it all came across at a time when they wanted to knock the pub down and convert it to luxury apartments. So the locals, they signed a petition to save the GLAD, and it became. And then the Campaign for Real Ale got involved as well, and they fought for the pub to be an asset of community value, which I think means that you can't break the pub down.
Yeah.
You can't change
it. Turn it into something else.
You can't change it to something else. It's going to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you? I mean, I didn't actually should have asked this at the start. Are you from London? Are you born in London? Or, I know you said you're from Punjab. Are you?
So I was born in Delhi, in India. And I was there for about 4 years. And then when I was 4 years old, my parents moved to Zambia, which is where my brother was born.
Yeah.
So my brother and I spent like most of our childhood in Africa.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the UK in 2008. I was in Cardiff to study my master's.
I'm from Swansea.
Okay.
And I studied in Cardiff.
Yeah. And I was in Cardiff. I did like a year's course. And then I moved to London, I think 2011. I was doing product management.
Okay.
So typical 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
Never really thought that I would run a pub.
No.
You know? And neither did any of my friends or anyone think that I would run a pub. So it's still like quite surprised a lot of people. But when they come up to the glass and they see me, they're just like, wow. Yeah. So great to see you in your element.
Yeah. In your element.
Yeah.
Why is it your element?
I would say that like my brother and I, we're both like very people persons.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're quite friendly. We to like talk to everyone. We're quite patient, which is what you really need in the kind of industry. Because I think running a pub is not just about serving drinks to people. It's about communication. It's about developing relationships. And people come here not just to have a drink. They come here to talk. Especially during the afternoons on quieter. That's when you expect the pub to be super quiet. And that's when they will come, will sit at the bar. They will talk about their day. They might talk about their quarrels with their missus. Or when their missus is on holiday, they will think of the pub as their escape, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like a nice, friendly environment.
Yeah.
This is what the pub culture is all about. It's ingrained in the ethos of British.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. Like, when would you say you first discovered, and I'm doing air quotes, listeners, the pub culture? So, like you say, you weren't born here, so it's not something you were brought up with. When would you say you discovered and got to understand a bit about what pub culture is in the UK?
It's just happened over the years.
Yeah.
I think both my brother and I are very welcoming people.
Yeah.
We're very friendly. We're very extrovert. So it was just sort of like as part of our personality to be like that.
Yeah.
And then over the years we realized that, you know, we have a really strong community here at the GLAD.
Yeah.
And we've developed so many friendships through the pub. And we hang out with them even like outside of the pub.
Yeah, so. That's so cool. So we were just talking about the community and you feeling, talking about how like you met people here that you hang out with. You mentioned you had a wine tasting earlier today. What was that? Was that for new wines at the pub or was that?
Potentially, yeah. So we knew one of the guys that we've had a long-standing work relationship with. He used to work with Lane, and I worked for Sustainable Wine Company. So I had a lovely tasting of vegan organic wines.
Ooh.
From France and Italy.
Interesting.
The Cremant and the Prosecco were my particular favorites.
Yeah.
I love a Prosecco. That's really my go-to drink.
Yeah.
Irrespective of any occasion. It's just my drink.
I've got some people who, Prosecco is like the main thing they
have. Yeah. So we tried a nice variety, like a few whites, reds, rosé, Prosecco, and the Cremant. So yeah, let's see how things go.
You said they were they're vegan and organic. How does that compare to non-vegan and organic wines?
This is a hard question. I mean, I think people nowadays are sort of like looking to do things that are a bit more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, more
right?
Conscious, right? I guess.
They're a bit more conscious of things, you know. So I guess it's good to have that sort of variety. And where you can show your customers that you are looking after the environment in your own way. We haven't yet made a decision, but hopefully we can figure something out.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was really, in addition to the environmental thing, they tasted absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
I mean, most of the wines are like so easy drinking, non-offensive. So it's like, wow, I was just drinking on like a Monday afternoon.
I just remember having a terrible organic red wine before, and that's why I was kind of curious.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. No, none of these were terrible at all. They were very nice. And they were like, most of them were easy drinking. Obviously, some of them were a bit richer, like the red wines. But those are really good for like to have with like our Sunday roast, like our lamb Sunday roast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to have like a nice wine portfolio so that can cater to different people.
And absolutely. Yeah, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. This is a question I usually ask, sometimes ask people, which I haven't prepped you for.
Yeah.
I like to ask, what's the first? Do you remember the first time you bought a drink at a pub? And which pub was it, or pub-like establishment, and what was the drink? Do you remember, is that something?
The first ever time? Probably when I was a student in Cardiff, but I can't remember it that much. However, like, I do remember that when I was working in my 9-to-5 job at the Strand, we had like our local pub, the Coal Hole. It's a historic pub.
Okay.
It's on the Strand.
What's it called?
The Coal Hole.
I don't think I know it.
It had like the smell, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It's like, it was next to the Adelphi Theatre or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think. Know that. Yeah.
Maybe not, I don't know. But basically, that was our go-to pub because it was right next to our office.
Yeah.
And this is when the whole pub culture, or like this thing about pubs, really like the fascination towards pubs of British people sort of resonated with me. And I'm like, it's just so, people would have their one-to-ones with their managers at the pub. They would like finish early on a Friday, say around 3:30, 4 o'clock, and have their one-to-one with their manager there, or like, you know, the end of week sort of drink at the pub. And I used to frequent that pub quite a lot.
Yeah.
And they had like a little outside area, so in the summer it was really nice. Like, it wasn't like a proper beer garden or anything. It was just like a little square space where everybody would just stand. And that's those are the memories I really remember. Every time I pass by the Coal Hole, I just think of those memories. And
was Prosecco your drink there as well?
No, not really. I used to drink gin and tonic then.
Okay.
It was. I never drank Prosecco back then, but gin and tonic was my drink. And funnily enough, a lot of like our work relationships, like couples, they developed from that pub.
Yeah.
And they're still together even now. So, you know.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Listeners, as you know, we usually have pub news, which you might be wondering where that is, because that's usually in the beginning bit. But I had a guest host cancel today, so I'm going to do this bit with Meg. Meg has thankfully offered to engage in pub news. Meg, basically, I'm going to reel off some pub news. Curious to hear your thoughts. We'll discuss it. You know, just like people talking in a pub. It's almost like we're in a pub, believe it or not. There's sad news. Serious news, let's call it. Serious news and silly news.
Mm-hmm.
So, we touched on this earlier. Cost of a pint rockets by 11% for second month in a row. So, this is on the morningadvertiser.co.uk. The average cost of a pint of draft lager increased by 11% in May. From £4.09 to £4.56. I bought my first £7 pint this month. It was in London, obviously.
Yeah.
How is that impacting? Is it impacting your pub? Are you noticing it? Are you having to put prices up?
Yes, of course. We have had to, unfortunately, put the pricing up. Because we've also got like increased prices from our own suppliers. But I do feel like we have a range of beers. There's beers that are still selling under £5.
Yeah.
Even though we're a central London pub.
Yeah, which is impressive.
Yeah, like say our Cask Ale.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. Sorry to interrupt. That's a beautiful thing I have put Cask on, right?
Absolutely,
like,
this. Yeah, that's £4.90. We do have like and we also have like house beers. So we have a house lager, which is 4%, or a house pale ale.
Yeah.
Those are just over £5.
Yeah.
£5.90.
Great.
And then obviously if you want to have like a fruity pale ale a distinctive beer, then of course you're going to have to pay a bit of a higher price for that. But of course it's something that's there in everyone's mind. We are facing inflation, you know, we're in the middle of all of that. There is nothing much that we can do.
No, of course not.
Yeah, but you know, we just have to go on. But if you guys have the Dusk app, Dusk.
Dusk.
Yeah, it's a really good app. If you download that app, you can get a free cocktail at our pub. We do like cocktails and draft.
Yeah.
In addition to all the beers that we do, we also do cocktails and drafts. So we've got like passion fruit martini, espresso martini, and you can get like a free one until about 7 o'clock in the night.
And of course, it would be to not mention City Stack.
Oh yes, of course, City Stack as well.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, obviously you can buy a bulk amount of kind of discounted beers and vouchers for different pubs around London.
Yeah.
The Glads being one of them. Other pub news then. So, are you aware of something called Open to All Charter? No. So the British Beer and Pubs Association released something in June 2022 called the Open to All Charter, which was basically a way of trying to promote inclusion and diversity in pub work. Which I guess, and I'm being explicit, I hope that's okay. Tell me to fuck off if not. obviously, you mentioned you're like potentially the first Indian landlady in pubs. Are you part of any networks, and do you see any kind of how much do you see diversity in pubs?
I'm not part of any networks per se.
Yeah.
But I do think that if I talk about the GLAD,
we
are an open to all sort of place, and of course it used to be a gay pub at one point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think still people resonate with that. But we also like, because we're an Indian run pub, we promote all of that stuff. We also promote, like, we also have like Diwali nights or like Holi nights.
Yeah.
So we promote the Indian culture as well. But of course we're like open to all, like everyone's welcome here.
Is pub culture in the Indian community in the UK a thing?
It's an interesting one. I think this is something that David has probably touched on in his book, The Desi Pubs.
Yeah.
It's a very big subject. But of course, there's a lot of Desi pubs in the UK.
Yeah.
In central London, maybe we're one of the very few, not the only.
Okay.
As a woman, as an Indian woman, I think with my own family, they have crossed a lot of barriers, a lot of boundaries, and I've crossed a lot with them over this whole journey of running a pub.
Yeah.
There was a time with my own family when women were not allowed to drink with the men, and the men would close the doors in the house, and they would drink and do their own thing. Now they have, there's been a lot of liberation in my own family, and now we're a bit more open with everything.
Yeah.
Maybe because my brother and I are running a pub now,
so,
and I can talk to my uncles about different kind of drinks. We can actually have drinks together. In fact, the last time I went to India, we were in a restaurant, and it was a bring your own booze restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
And they actually brought a special wine for me. So we all drank together. They encouraged their own daughters to drink. So I think it's changing. The culture is changing. Of course, there's a difference between India versus the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, the UK is a bit more liberal in that sense. And we're in London. We're very fortunate that we live in London. And London's a bit more of an open city. So as a woman alone, as an Indian woman alone, I'm fortunate enough to be able to just go to a pub by myself and sit there at the bar and communicate and talk to the person.
Yeah,
just
be at the bar.
It's not a problem.
That's really interesting. Yeah, so touched on it. I do a lot of work in kind of youth work and diversity, so I'm also very aware of this is such an interesting topic.
And it's not even just about drinking, it's about like the whole thing, it's about the community, it's about the food. It's like you just don't go and you obviously you go to have a drink, but you also go to do everything, a lot of other things.
Yeah, pubs,
you go for
pubs
events.
Are more than just the booze, I think. And that's what my own passion with pubs is very much about how much they are a focus point for community, especially in, like you said, we're in London and there's loads of pubs in London, but especially when you go to like more rural areas where they are literally the community hub of that village and that town.
Yeah.
And even here, like you say, because you're slightly off the beaten track, you've probably got residents near here who've grown up and lived here for 20, 30, 40 years with this pub on their doorstep as somewhere the last pub we were at was similar as well.
Yeah.
Okay, on to more fun news.
Yeah.
Do you know the Dolphin in East London?
No.
No? So the Dolphin was a pub in East London that used to open till 4 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, wow.
Would you ever consider opening until 4 a.m?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Understandably, no could be the answer.
Probably not. So what we do usually or sometimes is we apply for a late license, like we do a TENS application for like say New Year's Eve or like any special night. It could be any night, like it could be like our 7 year birthday party at the and we would apply to the council for a late license to open to like whenever. But I think 4 o'clock's a bit much. I think like you're gonna attract some weird kind of crowd at this point in time, like probably a lot of drunk people. And we're lucky and fortunate enough that we're a bit off the back streets, so we don't have too many crazy drunk people. But I can understand why some people would do that.
I think so. For me, as I think it's very much just having just chatting casually about it. I think for me, I get to a point at night where the pubs are shutting, but I don't want to go to a nightclub.
Of course. You still want to just chill.
I just want to be in a pub, maybe with some music on, and just
chill.
Continue having a pint or two. And that's what I've been to the Dolphin, not often, but occasionally when they were open till four. And that's why it's great, because there is a silly dance floor. But it's funny you say about the clientele it might attract, because it shut down briefly because someone got blast, and there was a whole criminal thing there. And they've now just reopened, so people will be happy to hear they've reopened. However, they're now only open till 1 a.m., which is a fairly, I think, standard time for any late pub.
Yeah, so we usually shut at about 12 on the weekends and 11 on the weekdays. And my brother and I are quite heavily involved in the operational side of things as well. So, yeah, I think those are decent timings for us.
So this is just a fun story, and I'm just curious, and you can just comment how you feel about it.
Sure.
A care home has opened its own pub for residents on site. Manager Cindy Hawkins said a lot of former publicans now lived at Bowood Court and Mews and had been keen to have a similar space to socialise. How cool is that?
I think, why not? You know, go for it. I think pubs are such great spaces for like just interacting and socialising and just having a good time, really.
I just think it's something, like you said earlier, there's something about the... I can't remember what you were talking about. You were talking about the smell and the space of a pub and how it's so different to anywhere else. And so the idea of them setting this up in a care home, just so that it's the same thing as chairs and tables. And
it gives them something to be a part
this
of.
This is something different,
And to actually work on something. And I was looking at the way the Japanese live, and it's like, you know, they live the longest because they're all part of a community and they're all working towards something. If you've got something to work on, with or on, you live longer and you're more happier.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same with a care home.
Point in case. Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Okay, that's the end of pub news. Thank you, everyone. We're going to move on to more chat about the pub. So we're moving on. We're sadly nearing the end of our conversation and chat. Meg, we're going to move on to your own pub quiz. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you feeling confident?
Well, maybe not, but go on.
So I've got 5 questions for you.
Yeah.
So I'm moving my laptop slightly ajar so you can't see the answers.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are all based on sources I found on the internet, so they might not be true. So it might be I have the answer, and you know the pub better than me, and you can say, no, you're wrong.
Okay.
Just, you're wrong, I'm right. So, you ready? Question one.
Go on.
What decade did this pub have a big renovation?
Big renovation?
/ built.
When was it first renovated?
Built. Yeah. Well, I've got it down. When was this pub? What decade was this pub built? Is what I've got the question.
1800s.
Okay. And then what year did it have a big renovation?
90s.
Yeah. Do you have the decade? 1920s.
Oh dear.
I've got.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to.
Oh, maybe that was when there was 2 bars here and then it became 1 bar. Because it used to have a public bar and a salon bar. You know how they used to do. Yeah. Probably then.
Members versus the general public.
Exactly.
The riffraff.
Yeah, and then you had to wear suits if you were like in the salon bar.
I'm going to give you a point because of the fun fact. Okay.
All right, good.
Question 2. What was the name of the paper Charles Dickens used to write that mentions this pub?
The Pickwick Papers?
Yes, mate! Superb, absolutely. The Pickwick Papers. Charles Dickens used to write small articles, journals about this locality, and he used to live near this pub.
Yeah.
Great work, mate. Good knowledge. Okay, again. Now, you've kind of already answered this, which makes me believe that you know more about the pub than I do. And I got this from your website. It's just a hint.
Yeah.
How many beers do you currently have on tap? And I'll give you a mistake, one side of the right answer. From what I saw on your website.
Well, we currently have like 14 beers on tap, but we have facility to serve 16 beers.
I'll give you that. So I had on your website it says 13. Yeah. So you said 14. Yeah, that's the point. You're doing very well.
We have increased our selection since then.
Okay. Name a band that has performed at this pub that mentions a whale.
Noah and the Whale.
Woo! Yes, indeed. Noah and the Whale have performed here. As has Ellie Goulding.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Were you here when that happened?
No, I wasn't. This is before our time. Yeah. But that's what I mean, that the live music is such a strong thing with the pub. And we work, currently we work with our music promoter, who's also a friend of mine. He is Bark.
Yeah.
And he has, I've been like, he used to be my colleague about 10 years ago, and now he works with us to arrange and curate beautiful live music nights.
I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I've just finished this question, because I'm also very curious as to where you put bands on.
Okay.
But last question. What are the two active, so on Wikipedia, I'm very aware you have far more active beers than this, but on Wikipedia it says you have two active beers.
Active what, sorry?
Active beers.
Okay.
Suggesting you have two beers on tap.
Oh.
I know, you obviously have loads more.
Yeah.
But what are the two active beers mentioned on your Wikipedia page?
Oh my God, I don't know this. Probably Hepcat and a house lager.
Sadly, no. I think this is probably from even before you were here. Doombar and Tribute.
Oh.
It's two casks. Which
that's interesting. I think I need to get that page edited now.
Yeah. That's the thing. So that's the pub, your own pub quiz. You got 4 out of 5. That's
quite good.
Impressive.
I know my pub fairly well.
Yeah, you do.
All right, yeah.
Sadly, listeners, we're coming to the end of the podcast. So I'd like to invite you, Meg, to sort of talk about why people should come to this pub, what are things that are really cool about this pub, promote it, sell it.
So I think that this pub, first and foremost, is a proper community pub. If you come here and you're even by yourself, you sit at the bar, we try to be as friendly as we can, and we'll introduce you to somebody, and you might develop friendships for life. You might find a partner, a romantic partner, you might find a business partner, you might find a friend. It's just we've developed so many relationships over the years. I also think we have really good events. We put on loads of like live music nights, like twice a week, blues, electronica, pop, like it ranges in genre. We do comedy shows, we have open mic nights, so I think we're also a very grassroots music venue, so we promote new talent and give them a platform to perform, and that's why we're really big on the open mic nights as well. Obviously the food, I can't not talk about the food, it's a nice Indian fusion. We do small plates, we do curries, we do pies, we do a beautiful mix of different flavors of food. And obviously the beer selection. We've got like really good beers from cask to ales to lagers, anything you want, there's a brilliant choice.
That is quite the sell and quite a lot of reasons to come here.
Yeah.
You mentioned live music and live music, comedy.
Yeah.
Where do they perform? I know listeners, you're not gonna be able to, but this pub is fairly small. I guess there's a corner.
Yeah.
Is that?
It's a little corner where this rug is. It's
where
we have the live music. So it's not like very loud bands.
Yeah. No.
It's like, but sometimes you do have like a 3, 4 or 5 piece band. which is a little drum kit. We do that sometimes, not often, but yeah, sometimes. And then we have our open mic. We have our open mic nights here, and then we do comedy nights upstairs. So it's very small, intimate, 20 pieces.
So that's in the space you can also hire.
You can hire privately as well. Yeah, it's like 20 people can fit there for a comedy night. 20 to 25. If you're standing and you want to book it privately, that space can accommodate about 40 people. So it's a very versatile space. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Plenty of reason, I hope.
Absolutely. This has been an absolute delight, and I'm going to stick around for a pint or two before I head home. Meg, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining Pub Trotters Pubcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a lovely rest of the day. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
That's it for now. That is the end of A Road. To be the last one of these we'll do for a while. Again, I say we. That's one of the reasons it's the last one. It's been a long journey where we started this with amazing people. Roxy, Niall, Mark, Lou. Lots of people involved. And people, a lot of us have moved on. I've been trying to keep it going with the odd occasional celebrity appearance from one of them. But it's hard work doing this on your own. So, I hope you enjoyed that last one. It's been fun doing this stuff with City Stack, and hopefully, you know, in the future we will do more. But for now, I'm going on a hiatus, and you can Instagram page will still be going, Twitter pages will be deleted, so we'll still be posting some random videos and posts on our Instagram page, and. Yeah, like I said, who knows, hopefully in the future there'll be some more to come. But for now, this is the end of this particular road. Happy pub trotting, everyone.